On this episode of Down the Wire, we have hit level 43, episode 43, the post-Thanksgiving Day episode. We see how fat Tom and I both got as we loaded ourselves full of turkey, stuffing, and of course, football. We also hit up the hot stove. Winter meetings are happening, and we got some stories to tell. Don't forget the hot takes and the quick hits. All this and more coming at you down the wire.
You know what I'm saying? I be like, sheesh, sunset on the beach. Make me wanna pull up on Miami with the heat. I don't know about you, but I know about me. Summertime in Florida, catch me sliding on the key, yeah.
Something's happening inside of me. Episode 43, Down the Wire. Let's go, baby. That was a good intro, Dave. I was fucking feeling that, man. I'm already saying the F word early in the podcast.
Whoa, you don't ever swear.
I know. You're always so critical of it, but you got me all jacked up now. It was a great, great week of football.
Jacked up you are. Look at you.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to worry about anything. I could just eat like way too much food. And then go to another place and eat way too much food and then not worry. And I could just work, no school. I mean, I should have been doing school, but hey, I didn't have to. I'm all caught up now. Just a great week. Just a great week to get out and enjoy some goddamn football.
Most def.
What'd you do this weekend?
Man, I hit up everything. Wednesday night was my one last day of work for that week, which is awesome. Always good to have a short week.
Always great.
But then it was also the night of my big wrestling show down at the historic Turner Hall Ballroom, right next to the Deer District, right next to Pfizer Forum, for Mondo Lucha, which is easily my favorite show of the year. It's one of my biggest shows as well.
I was about to say, it's got to be the biggest promotion that you work, right? Like, consistently,
lately, I guess. I mean, they don't really run all that often, but you know what? They do it right. They take their time and just have an amazing show with a fantastic production, and I can't speak more highly of it. It's just so damn good.
You always say how great it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those shows that just kind of gets my blood flowing and revitalizes my wrestling energy for the rest of the year. And again, can't speak any more highly of it. I got to hang out with Rhino, you know, former ECW, WWE, Impact Wrestling guy, and he had loads of compliments for the stuff that I put together, which I'll fucking take.
Hell yeah. From Rhino, dude? Yeah.
And he's a clean guy. He doesn't like to shake hands usually. But I got to shake his hand because he respected what I did. And that's like, you chalk that up as a real fucking win right there. That was just Wednesday, let alone, you know, the turkey and Thanksgiving on Thursday. Then I had 2 days of comedy sports, and then I redecorated this whole goddamn house so you can see my sectionals in a different way. Serious with the lady friend.
Start
rearranging the couches.
Yeah, is she listening to the podcast yet or what?
I don't know. Maybe.
Probably not. Actually.
Yeah.
She is one of our like few followers. But I think that's just an excuse for her.
That's a pity follow.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
well,
Antoinette. What the hell?
Let's get into what the people come to see. The sports, the football, Thanksgiving Day football. We didn't get one. We didn't get two. We got 3 games to talk about and 2 pretty good games. 1 game that kind of sucked. But an overall great day of football on Thanksgiving, and not much more you can ask for.
No, we had absolutely fantastic. It's 3 days of football, or sorry, 3 games of football on a Thursday. And, you know, Thursday is always synonymous for shitty football. we did not get super shitty football. I mean, we got some, you know, whatever. But we also got pissed off Jerry Jones, which is also a fucking win. It's always a win when that happens.
Let's get into the first game that happened. Was it an 11 o'clock start time for this?
Yes,
game?
Or 11:30.
Okay, I knew it was earlier, but I just couldn't remember if it was 11 or I knew it wasn't 11 or 11:30. Jared Goff takes his Lions back home. Thanksgiving Day. Lions always play, and they seem to always lose. And this time it was Andy Dalton marching in, who I said I think gave the best shot for the Bears to win. I don't know if Justin Fields is winning that game, but the Bears come out victorious 16-14. And Dave, I think it's time we say Dan Campbell's gone, right? Dan Campbell's going to get fired.
No.
I think he is, Dave. He's 0-10-1 right now.
That one could save him.
You know, then it's just going to haunt him because he's going to be 0-16 as a player and 0-16-1 as a coach for his career. You know what I mean?
This season's going to haunt him regardless. And
absolutely.
You know, again, we started off this season with the Lions showing some sort of respect for themselves, being competitive in mainly every game that was going on. I think for like the first five games, they were fairly competitive outside of maybe one. And now it's just completely off the rails. They suck. Well, and I get it. Like this game, they were close too, but you know, they are just, they can't anymore. And it's just so sad.
Do you remember our
Campbell's gone?
Do you remember? I think it was like our first episode. Jared Goff and Matt Stafford were traded for each other. It was very soon after the Super Bowl.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was very close to that. And we had people commenting that that trade was won by the Lions, which is just, that's probably why no one comments anymore, because the only person that did was not very close to that take at all.
No.
And then you look at it, Jared Goff has never won a game without Sean McVay.
I know you keep bringing this up. You love this. 0-7
with Jeff Fisher, which Jeff Fisher probably won the next 9 games, knowing Jeff Fisher. Come on, 9-7, that was like all him. And now 0-9-1 with the Lions. I cannot imagine a world where Jared Goff is the quarterback for the Lions next year either.
I don't know about this. Because going back to our Dan Campbell idea, Dan Campbell keeps finding ways to lose these games. He called consecutive timeouts with a 1:54 left on a 3rd-and-9. Right? The second timeout was on a play Chicago went short of the sticks in order to kick a field goal to take the lead. I mean, what the hell is he doing?
He does not have these guys motivated anymore. They are lost for sure.
I'm not ready to count out Jared Goff entirely. Don't get me wrong. It's Jared Goff. He's not exactly great. You know, congratulations. You're better than Brock Osweiler. You're better than Paxton Lynch, but you're still Jared fucking Goff.
I think that he ranks within the bottom 10 quarterbacks for sure in the NFL. And
that's an interesting, bottom 10. He's not in the,
I feel like I can name 20 quarterbacks for sure better than him.
Okay. How about you give me quarterbacks that he's better than?
I would say he's better than, okay, let me start
Daniel
off
Jones.
Yes. I will take him over Tyrod Taylor. Hurts? I'll take him over Tyrod Taylor.
What about Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts, probably no.
Oh, probably nice. No. That's a win for me right there. What about Taylor Heineke?
Oh, God, that's close. Shit, that depends on what you want. I don't even know.
Now, here's the thing on that.
Is he better than Tua? You know what I mean? God. Like, these guys are all the same tier player.
I think I would trust Jared Goff. If they had, now here's the thing. That Lions team is so fucking bad. it's not like it's just him, right? If they had the same team, who you taking? I feel like I might take Jared.
I think that's because he had one really good year with the Rams. I think we're all remembering that, and I think we're talking that bias with it.
I think we're talking too much on this first game because this game was just bad.
And I know, but Andy Dalton showed up. He balled out. He threw over 300 yards. The Bears cannot run the ball anymore now since David Montgomery's come back, which is very weird.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney with two O's, I like to say. You know what I'm saying? He's been amazing since he's come in, and a great game
for
him as well.
He took over the Allen Robinson role because Allen Robinson just fucking dropped off the face of the planet.
What happened to Allen Robinson? He hasn't come back yet?
He got tagged? No, he got like franchise tagged or whatever, and now apparently he can't fucking play football anymore.
Unfortunate for him. I did want to give a shout out to the MVP that we all should have been. If the Lions would have won this game, the MVP would have been Jack Fox, their punter. He averaged 50 yards a punt, including a 70-yard boot for him. What a day for Jack Fox. Truly remarkable performance for the punters that no one doesn't get enough credit for. Move on.
Please.
Okay, we're on to the most watched game in
of all time.
Thanksgiving history. 39 million people tuned in to watch the Cowboys and the Raiders. And a pretty good football game to watch, too, because it was Derek Carr versus Dak Prescott for a lot of this, too.
Yeah. And, you know, we unfortunately didn't get a full Cowboys team, you know, them missing Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. But then you had dudes step up. Michael Gallup, I keep telling people, Michael Gallup is low-key really good. And then Cedric Wilson as well. You know, they come in big with 106 and 104 yards respectively. Dog, they were going off, especially when the running game couldn't get shit. Both Pollard and Elliott going for 61 yards. The defense failed them, but all in all, it was a very good game. It was close. DeSean Jackson looked like DeSean Jackson of old, which is always fun. I love DeSean Jackson touchdowns. They're a thing of beauty. Yeah, I don't know what it is. When he takes it to the house, he always makes it look really fucking good.
That is a very good point, that he is great at scoring touchdowns, looking like he scores touchdown. I really wanted to the Raiders shutting down the Cowboys run game was kind of incredible. Zeke and Tony Pollard, who have been one of the best, if not the best 1-2 punch since Kareem Hunt has been hurt for most of the year after Cleveland. I did also think that this game almost helped Dak Prescott this week, rather, helped Dak Prescott get into the MVP conversation.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's what I wanted to say. I think that because of he's been putting up these huge numbers that obviously these games aren't his fault by any means, and Dallas is going to win their division. They're going to be in the playoffs. Why wouldn't you want to give him the MVP? Now, to say that, Derek Carr played him. Derek Carr was great.
Slinging it, dude.
Derek Carr throws a mean deep ball, and now he had two receivers over 100 yards. You mentioned DeSean Jackson, and he had Hunter Renfrow with him. He didn't even have his best weapon, Darren Waller, going out there for him. Derek Carr, big win for the Raiders to get this win now. During this time, they were slumping, obviously, three straight. Very happy to see them doing well and come out and win a huge game to piss off Jerry Jones, like you said.
Yeah, they were talking about the officiating, and they do have a gripe. The officiating was poor. There was a couple of games this week that just had the refs completely looking like fools, but, you know, whatever.
Challenge pass interference again, and then you were like, oh, yeah, that idea was terrible. You can't do that. So
it just slowed the game down so much. Now, going back to what you were saying about Dak Prescott and his MVP odds, would you like to take a guess where he falls currently heading into week 13?
I would say number one probably to the NFL. I would give it to Tom Brady.
Well, yep, he is at plus 350.
I would say that number two is... That could be Dak Prescott, but I could also see Jonathan Taylor.
I will tell you right now, it is all quarterbacks. So okay. No Jonathan okay. Taylor love.
Wow.
You know how the NFL works. No. Wow. You know how the NFL works. They don't.
Yeah,
give...
but he's so much farther than everyone else in all the categories too. It's
sure,
kind of ridiculous.
But it doesn't mean anything, unfortunately. Like that's just the NFL.
Okay. Whatever. Is Kyler Murray second or Aaron Rodgers second?
It is Josh Allen at plus 450.
That's wrong.
Rodgers plus 600. Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes at plus 1,000, and Dak Prescott at plus 1,200.
Dak Prescott plus 1,200. That would be. I don't think that's a bad bet right now. I think he could.
You want to go
halvesies?
I'll do 50-50. We both split 600.
I mean, yeah, we could probably talk about that.
I'm
not
with
kidding.
That.
Because I think that's not a bad idea. He's having a really good season that's had a lot of great games. He's 22-7 right now, but his team is going to win their division, don't forget. He's got almost 3,000 yards. He has potential to have 4 touchdown games all the time. His defense is great. America loves the Cowboys, they say. You know, the NFL really just loves the Cowboys. They don't want to give it to Aaron Rodgers this year. They're going to be pissed. The fans are going to be pissed if Tom Brady wins it, rather. You know what I mean? It could just fall into his lap.
And Josh Allen is single-handedly playing himself out of the MVP. But
yeah, I don't really like the Josh Allen being the second best odds, like you said there. I think
and like I said, his odds improved, actually. He was plus 600 now to plus 450, which is wild.
Well, let's get into this next game then with Josh Allen into it, and we can talk about him. We have the Bills and the Saints for the game 3. And Josh Allen, he was good. He was good. He threw 4 touchdowns. You can't be mad at him for throwing 4 touchdowns, I get. But I also did want to say the Saints are so much farther back than they think they are from where they want to be.
And I don't know if you've heard going into next week, you got Taysom Hill taking first team reps.
I don't know what the hell is going on in New Orleans at all, but the answer is not Lil Jordan Humphrey, Tre'Quan Smith, and Marquez Callaway. It's an all-time name team, but none of them are the weapons they need. Michael Thomas is really screwing them this year. I can see that. They're not where they want to be. Ty Montgomery is like their featured back. Like, this is a team
far back. You got a lot of injury concern right now if you're the Saints. Not only Michael Thomas, but you also got Alvin Kamara, who is arguably one of the best running backs in the league, especially when you factor in the fact that he can receive. And then
he also seems to be hurt a lot.
Yeah, well, I guess
him and his boy McCaffrey, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, dude, Kamara is not on McCaffrey level.
Not yet.
And then also Jameis Winston, though. I mean, like, that is the big one. And even if you're going to use Taysom, sure. Why not at least consider Ian Book?
They threw a pass with their punter before they threw a pass with their backup quarterback on Thursday. The Saints looked really soft. They came out very weak. The Bills defense was dominating them the entire game. Just under 200 yards, I think, of total offense. Embarrassing performance from the Saints. And as for Josh Allen, he looked a little erratic again. He threw 2 interceptions.
But he was also slinging the ball like crazy. I mean, eventually a defense is going to pick up. And really, that's all that the Saints had were a couple impact plays on defense.
I just love how he can move a lot, and I think that helps his case. That's what I think it is. I get that their offense runs through him just slinging it a lot of the time, but he gets very careless sometimes with his throws.
True,
he is just chucking it up. He's very much Brett Favre. all over again.
Look at it this way, too. The Bills needed this win big time. They have been floundering on games that they should be winning. Not to mention, next week is a huge matchup. It is the Bills and the Patriots. And you know how I've been feeling about this Patriots. Now, I believe the number one team in the AFC after the Titans loss this past week.
I think they are. They might. The Titans, I think, or the Patriots are waiting to have their bye maybe too. So it might be like a half game thing, but.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I believe they are both 8-4.
They might be, because they were 8-3 and the Patriots were 7-4, or were they 7-5?
I thought they were 7-4. Regardless. Now,
it was week 12, so it doesn't matter. They also now
have the tiebreaker, because they put a fucking mollywop on those Titans. You know, why don't we just go right into that one as the first game?
We can do that. We can do that. Last thing real quick. I do like Josh Allen's connection with Dawson Knox as a red zone thing. He's been having a great outbreak season. Already got his reception totals, touchdown totals, and his yards over last two seasons. So shout out to Dawson Knox. He's becoming a weapon in Buffalo. Let's move on to the Sunday night games. The Sunday football games. And you wanted to go right into Tennessee and New England. This is a great one to start with.
I told you New England was going to come out. I called this as a 21-point blowout, baby. And
this was a good pick. Good pick.
Damn, I feel freaking good about that pick.
I love watching New England play now. I think Mac Jones is... Do you remember when Mac Jones was like rumored to be the third overall pick? Do you think Tampa Bay is kicking them, or not Tampa Bay? Do you think San Francisco is kicking themselves about this, or this only is working because of Bill Belichick?
No. First of all, the one that really is fucking weird is the Zach Wilson pick. I think the Jets should be kicking themselves more than anything. We can't say shit about San Francisco because we don't know what they got yet. You know what I mean? Trey Lance is still under development. I don't know. I mean, that's one of the big...
A work in progress.
Well, that's one of my big gripes about San Francisco, is the fact that they just don't use Trey Lance for anything. They started to. He was looking really good. And then he throws like one interception, and then they lose their fucking minds about it.
And it worked. I get.
Yeah, sure. I guess. Yeah, I guess. Right. They're back. They're back at winning. But I don't know. I find that the whole thing to be very odd. And whatever. Mac Jones is still proving to be the best rookie quarterback right now, and. It may not have been pretty this game, but at least he was efficient. Completed two touchdowns to his guy Bourne, and the unit did leave some opportunities on the table, converting just two of their five red zone trips. Think about it; they could have really kicked the shit out of Tennessee. And
well,
Tennessee now
looked their defense looked amazing too in the red zone as well. I think they had a turnover on Tannehill. You got to credit them as well for the Patriots.
Yeah. And now Tennessee, it looks like these injuries, which I believe they have something like the most players all time to play for one team in a single season.
I think I heard that as well on Sunday. Yes.
And I think it's finally starting to show. You know, I don't have super high hopes, especially with the way that Indianapolis has been playing, both defensively and through their rushing attack, because as we all know, it wasn't Carson Wentz helping them out. But Tennessee might just lose their top spot in the AFC South.
It could be a good race in the AFC South. I do agree. I like how the Colts are playing right now. To go back to it, Ryan Tannehill, I think I've been calling this for a while, that you don't want him to be the head guy because of him being that leader on your team. It's obviously was Derrick Henry's job to be the captain and rely on a lot of the offense, But Ryan Tannehill cannot get stuff done on his own, as we saw. 93 yards from your quarterback, that's just embarrassing. Getting absolutely destroyed by Mac Jones. Mac Jones is on the IR next week because his foot might have got broken off in Ryan Tannehill's ass, as Shannon Sharp would say. I also wanted to preface that Nick Folk just should also get some sort of award for being awesome. 5 for 6 for field goals, 3 for 3 on his extra points, hit a 50-yarder, another casual 18 points for the guy. He's just insane, Dave. He's just absolutely insane.
Do you have a man crush on Nick Folk? This is like the third week you've brought him up.
He just always goes crazy. New England finishes with 25% of their drives end in field goals.
Yeah, nuts. Well, you know, and that's something that you obviously wish you could convert more. And think about that. So when you think about the fact that New England is blowing out teams, right? And that's with 25% of their drives ending in field goals. If they were able to convert, holy fuck, they'd be
Mac
destroyed.
Jones just getting them down there. He's just getting them down there. 31 of 34 this year for Nick Folk right now. Has not missed a kick under 50 yards. I mean, shit.
That is really good.
That's pretty damn good. I wish we had something like that. Oh.
All right, where do you want to go next?
All right, next, let's move on. Let's move on to the Eagles and Giants. How about that? That's one I would love to talk about.
You just want to take it to me.
I just thought it was a really great football game with a really competitive score of 13-7. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very odd score, right?
And your boy Jalen Hurts. Your boy Jalen Hurts losing to the Giants and Daniel Jones and 40 yards a game, Saquon Barkley. That's his new name. That's all he does. All he does
Saquon's
is get 40
so
yards,
bad.
I feel like. That.
Saquon, I'm sorry, Saquon's a bust.
I am done
with Saquon Barkley. They need to move on. I don't know. He's just fucking bad.
But Jalen Hurts.
Okay, so like here's
0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions,
yeah,
and 129 yards.
And there is your problem. They would not stop throwing the ball. Why? You've had 2 pretty fucking good wins for the Eagles over the past couple weeks, and yet you decide to go away from what got you these wins, which was a rushing attack that no team could have a fucking answer for.
Yeah, Boston Scott was always their lead guy for that. They had Jordan Howard having a couple of big weeks in there too. And Jalen Hurts, a big part of their rushing attack as well, of course. But definitely looked to be off a little bit of sorts with the team on Sunday. I cannot believe they lost this game. The Giants played terrible as well. And you know how much we are not fans of Daniel Jones and not fans of Saquon Barkley as well.
Yeah.
This was a big they did this without Kadarius Toney too. I mean, that's been one of their best weapons this year since Kenny Galladay's been an average signing at best. So this was an impressive win for the Giants, a big day for their defense. Of course, Jalen Hurts getting picked off 3 times is just never going to be a good
killer.
Recipe
I mean,
for
yeah.
success.
Yeah, what else can you do? And again, I blame that more on Nick Sirianni for thinking that Jalen Hurts should be throwing that much. That's something that he's got to ease into more. He's not a traditional passer, right? That dude can run. Let him fucking run. And you know, they did that in the second half. They started to stick to their run game or come back with their run game, and they had some type of momentum. But really, at the end of it all, it proved too little too late. And It was just bad. And, you know, we did get Jalen Reagor as well, taking some miscues in that same passing game too, which didn't help them either.
That was also a very questionable draft pick when they took him that early. I believe he was like the 20th pick in a couple years ago in a draft. And there were some other receivers on the board, I think, that there was ranked ahead of Jalen Reagor, and you probably wish you would have got. I don't got much more on this game. Just wanted to shit on Jalen Hurts a little bit because
you love Jalen Hurts.
I don't love Jalen Hurts at all. In fact, I think he's very much like he needs to be. He's like what Taysom Hill is. That's where his role is. He's a Taysom Hill. Whoa. Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's go to a blowout. Let's go to Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
Dude, Cincinnati. This was a game we were split on. This was one where I looked better than you. There wasn't a lot of those games, but Joe Burrow didn't even need to have such a crazy game because this was all about Joe Mixon, who we talked about last week having a big breakout game and coming back with another huge game on the ground.
I didn't take Pittsburgh to win.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I have it right here. This is not one of the splits. I had Cincinnati.
You were telling me that people... Oh, wait. Were you just telling me that people were saying that this is a game where Pittsburgh
yes.
can win?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's where I was.
Yeah, I was about to say. I was like, wait a second. I had to double check. We split a lot, but yeah, no. Definitely not.
Okay. Like I was saying, huge day for Joe Mixon on the ground. I guess he's good now. 165 yards is a lot for a running back today. 28.
Dude, he had a 49 yards on the opening drive. He was fucking just going.
This was a rough day for Pittsburgh, who got back Minkah Fitzpatrick and TJ Watt and still got embarrassed by this Bengals offense.
Yeah, and I think one of the big targets that they had was Pierre, the starter that was filling in for Joe Hayden, and they just targeted him all day, just continuously picked on the dude. And fuck, man, I think it's safe to say that the Steelers season is done. We don't really have to worry about this anymore.
Is Mike Tomlin on any hot seat?
Absolutely not.
No?
No. No. Why would you think that?
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, last year they were good. I guess it's hard to remember they were good last year because that we knew they weren't good last year. And now you can just see how sad this Steelers team is this year almost. Like, Big Ben can't throw the ball 41 times. He cannot.
Mike Tomlin got them a Super Bowl. They're not letting him walk ever unless he wants to walk. You know, unless he wants to retire. Mike Tomlin more or less has usurped Ben Roethlisberger as the lifeblood of Pittsburgh. I mean, and that's Pittsburgh has always been known to be a head coach town. What you have, three head coaches over the past, 50 fucking years or some shit.
Yeah, maybe
like that.
Even longer. It was what was it? Noel Cowher and Tomlin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
that's
I mean,
sick.
It's super cool. I do. There's something about that is really fucking cool. And I've always been a big fan of Mike Tomlin. I think most people are big fans of Mike Tomlin. And especially
big fan of Mike Tomlin.
And especially after he shut the media down so heavily this year when he got asked about the USC job. That right there, I think, kind of gave Pittsburgh ownership the chubbies. And they weren't going to let him go.
They got weapons. They always seem to have receivers. Deontay Johnson's great. Chase Claypool can go out there and have big days. They really like Freiermuth, the new tight end they drafted last year. Your boy Najee Harris, not a good day for him at all.
My
longest, boy. Longest run of the day, only 5 yards, was just absolutely stoned against that Bengals front. And now, are the Bengals going to win a playoff game this year?
You know what? Yeah.
I think they are.
Yes.
They might end
only
their
because
streak.
The AFC is so bad. There's still people that I'm seeing saying that the AFC is better than the NFC. I don't know how believe that. The NFC is so clear cut with good. And the AFC has there's no one to be confident on. No one at all.
I mean, New England's gaining a lot of my trust.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I take that back. I have been super pro New England for like the past 3-4 weeks. And but again, I wouldn't be like supremely confident. It is a rookie quarterback. You know what I mean? And for as well as Mac Jones has been playing, he's still a rookie quarterback. Things can get to him.
It just would be so Bill Belichick to get a rookie to the Super Bowl to be like, no one's ever done this before.
You just want that to happen. You want it that to
would
happen
be,
so bad.
It would be kind of cool. It would be kind of cool. I don't know why I want to root for the Patriots. I don't know why, but I love watching him play right now.
All right, where do you want to go next?
Let's go to, oh, by the way, TJ Watt's on the COVID list. We'll probably not play next week. That's tragic. Should we go on to another ugly game real quick? And then we'll go to a good one. I would like to go talk about the Dolphins and the Panthers.
Yeah, that's what I had pulled up to. I had a feeling you might go here. What happened with Cam?
I don't know, man, but that was some of the saddest shit you're going to see from a quarterback right there. I mean,
ring the bell, though.
Shit.
Ring the bell. We did get PJ Walker sighting.
Backup quarterback. Ding, 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 ding. You love to see it. But, man, Cam Newton was the backup quarterback last week, and he probably will be after.
Yeah, two interceptions. He got sacked. He only was 5 for 21 for 92 yards. He was just lost out
quarterback
there.
Quarterback rating of 5.
And the feel good story.
Nathan Peterman stat line right there, man. That's not a Cam Newton stat line. That's Nathan Peterman.
The feel good story of the year of Cam Newton returning back to Carolina is now turned into a complete and utter shit show. Come on, man. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't all just him. The defense was especially bad. The special teams was especially bad, but everything was bad this game. And now, again, the Dolphins just seem to come back. Phoenix rising from the ashes.
The Dolphins are 5-7.
They look like monsters.
Like, what is up with that? They're the same record as the Panthers. Like, are they good now? I don't understand what's going on. Jaylen Waddle, I was super high on him, you remember, coming out of the draft.
Oh, yeah.
When we did our episode. He looks great. A huge day for him. 9 catches, 137 yards, goes along with the touchdown. He's really solidifying himself as a big target for Tua that he loves to go to. And the sixth overall pick on him doesn't look so bad. He's 5th in the NFL in receptions, got 77 of them. 759 yards with 4 touchdowns this year with Tua as his quarterback. I mean, come on, dude. Jaylen Waddle looks amazing right now. This Brian Flores, like, is the reason why I'm a little excited, because I love Brian Flores. You know how great he is. Miles Gaskin as well. Just all he does is score touchdowns. Remember a couple weeks ago, I didn't even know he was on the fucking team. He's never going to let me forget
it. Yeah, but come on. They were red zone touchdowns. They weren't anything special.
Okay.
He only had 49
still touchdowns.
Yards. He had 16 attempts for 49 yards, dude. Like, chillax with Michael Gaskin? No, Miles. I don't know why I said Michael. Yeah, and I know you were giving love to Jaylen Waddle, but you got to go to the other side of the ball and talk about Jalen Phillips, who had 3 sacks on for the Dolphins. 3 out of the 5 sacks, dude. Whoa.
Big day for their first-round pick, Jaylens. They drafted 2 Jaylens spelt differently in the same draft in the first round. That's kind of crazy. We didn't talk about
You know what's crazy? This team was 1-7.
They've won 4 straight? No way.
They were 1-7, dude.
What a guy, Brian Flores. They are, holy shit. They are only 2.5 games back of Buffalo, realistically. I mean, I don't think they're anything to be too scared about yet. I don't think the Panthers are on this downward trajectory. So, you know, I told you, remember, sell all your stock. I sold it all. So I made a smart play. If anyone didn't listen, that's your fault. Miami, though, is it time to buy? Is it time to buy into Miami a little bit? I love Brian Flores. Remember, this team won 10 games last year. With an extra game this year, I mean, they can still get to that 10-win mark if they wanted to win, you know, 9 straight.
No.
Yeah, that would be crazy. I don't think so. But a big day for their defense. Javon Holland, another one of their rookies, had a pick as well. Xavien Howard, of course, he did. I'm really just impressed with Jaylen Waddle. And Tua, not looking bad at all. Not looking bad at all. If he's going to play like that, shit, he's going to make us look stupid too.
Sure, sure. All right, I want to go to a guaranteed dub. A big old W for good old Dave over here. Let's talk about Atlanta and Jacksonville, because there's one Wirtz brother that foolishly, idiotically,
thought
that the Jaguars were going to beat the Falcons. And on top of that, with your bad takes, you also said that Cordarrelle Patterson wasn't going to be in this game. And yet, the future comeback player of the year was in this game. He was the game. 125 yards, including 108 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. Cordarrelle Patterson, dog, was fucking on fire.
I don't know why the fuck I did that. You know, I literally, after the game was like 21-0, I was like, holy shit, I really picked this team to win. Like, I can't believe I even thought that that would be remotely a good idea. In the moment, I must have just been pissed. And
bad news, Bears. Bad news.
I wish I could go back.
What? Guess what? We both ended up 9-6 this season, this week. You would have won if you would have taken the Falcons.
Oh.
So,
I thought Cordarrelle Patterson wasn't playing, to be fair. To be fair, I really thought I heard that beforehand. I didn't know he was going to be back in the game. But I love seeing him do well as well. He's been insane this season for them. I don't think he's comeback player of the year. That's a long shot, but...
Probably, hey. But you know what? If we can hope for something,
we'll do our own awards at the end of the year. Like,
especially
not based off of predictions.
If you think Dak Prescott wins MVP, then it might not be, because they're not really super big on that, right? They kind of like to spread it all out.
Yeah, they don't like to give the same player the same awards unless they have like a crazy season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Trevor Lawrence is the king of like garbage time points to make his losses look better. If we were going to give Urban Meyer a grade of the first year head coaches, like we were talking about, I think Urban Meyer would be my lowest graded one, honestly, of all of them.
Even Dan Campbell?
Because Dan Campbell's team sucks. Dan Campbell's team is terrible. Urban Meyer's just a
terrible
hire.
Urban Meyer gets like a
terrible hire.
He's not anything. He's not good. And then you got someone on the other side of the ball, also a first-year head coach, though, Art Smith. Arthur Smith he's got these Falcons in playoff talk. Whether or not they get there is another story. I'm going to venture to guess that it's a no. But dude's doing a damn good job and arguably one of the better head coaching candidates for first-year players.
I agree with you completely. Coaches. Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think that this was... Still, they should have just drafted one of the quarterbacks fourth overall and not gone with Kyle Pitts. I get it. Kyle Pitts is an athletic freak, and he's up there for one of their better players still. But a quarterback in the long run, I think, would have been a way bigger weapon. I guess it's nice because Calvin Ridley did end up stepping away for right now, so they do have someone else to throw to at least. But Matt Ryan... He's just so old, you can tell on top of it. He didn't need to do a whole lot. He got the game done, but this was mainly Cordell's day to shine, carry his team like he's been doing all year long. What's the Falcons' schedule look like for the rest of the year? I'm curious to see because they are sitting at 5-6, like you said. And I mean, there's 7 seats. That's why it's a problem. They do have to play the Buccaneers next week, so that's probably going to be a loss. They have the Panthers, the Niners, toss up maybe, the Lions, the Bills maybe
Saints.
A loss, and Saints. I mean, dude, they could probably go 500 in that stretch and they'd be pretty happy, right?
I think if they went 500, you might see them in the playoffs.
It's going to be close. They can definitely beat the Panthers and the Lions, and I want to give them the 49ers, but I don't know yet. They could beat the Saints.
Why are you hating on the 49ers?
Let's get to them next then. I think the Falcons won't be in the playoffs, but it's interesting to see what their schedule looks like with how it is. 49ers and Vikings. This was probably one of the best football games of the week. It was insane. Yeah. 32 points scored in the third quarter between the two teams.
It's like you just want to bring up all the games that I was right about right away.
Dude, I should have been right about this game, though. I'm just saying it. This was absolutely infuriating that I got this one wrong, because now the Vikings continue their stretch of literally 11 games. They have been up by 7 points at some point in the game, and they are 5-6. How do you manage to fuck this up every week, Mike Zimmer? You are fired no matter what this season.
Damn, fired?
Yes.
Damn.
Mike Zimmer's gone.
You just had the 49ers doing what they do best, and that is running on the ground, dude. Eli Mitchell going for a buck 33, and then on top of that, you also had Debo going for 66 yards as well. They were just pounding the ball, and not to mention, Jimmy G was looking pretty hot, too, throwing for 230, a touchdown. Fuck, man. I mean, he kept them in the whole time through. The ground game was running so efficiently. The 49ers were able to hold onto the ball for a total of 37 minutes. Dude, that's notable because the NFL teams are undefeated this year when holding the ball for at least 37 minutes in a non-overtime game. It is a guarantee if you hold that ball for so long that you are going to win.
I really enjoy this Debo Samuel running back tandem product thing they're doing right now, like throwing him back there to try to get some reps. It did cost him. There is reports of him missing a week or two now because of what he got hurt with. Dalvin Cook died. That was really bad. He, dude, not a laughing matter, but Dalvin Cook, hopefully he gets better. I think he like tore his labrum and dislocated his shoulder. It was just a good hit, and unfortunately, he remains his same injury-prone self.
Now, do we sound the alarms for backup quarterback?
I don't think so. I don't think it counts.
What? Justin Jefferson, dog.
He had a pass.
A 24-yard bomb, dude.
But then we would have rang the bell for the punter on.
That's fair. That's
New
fair.
Orleans. You know what I mean? So I do think Kirk Cousins is playing great football. I mean, he finally threw another interception, which he's been amazing going up until that point. I think it's just his third on the year.
How did you like off that 99-yard kickoff return by, what is it? Good God. Kine Nyangwu?
Yeah, a lot of vowels in his name. I don't know how to pronounce it. I envy how good Minnesota special teams is all the time, dude. It's ridiculous how they always have someone who's amazing back there. They Ngangu had his second his second return touchdown
Nuangwu.
This year.
Nuangwu.
Okay, that's not so bad.
I think I fucked it up the first time too.
His second return touchdown of the year. They had Marcus Sherrills, of course, back there. Percy Harvin, Cordell Patterson. They always have someone back there. I think I'm even missing one. I feel like I am. I don't know. They probably threw Joe Webb back there and he ran one back. But I hate that they're always so good at it. And the Minnesota Vikings just keep finding a way to screw everything over for themselves. And that's why I think Mike Zimmer has to go.
Well, and
this team is supposed to be good.
Your idea on that, Vikings are now 0-7 under Mike Zimmer when surrendering at least 200 rushing yards. So, dude just can't back it up. And they need to find a way to minimize the bleeding when it comes to time of possession, because you know that's what killed them. And that's what's been killing the NFL, you know, throughout this season, is if a team is holding on to that ball, you're not going to win.
We love talking about time of possession here. That's our big stat. Move on from this one.
Yeah.
Unless you got anything else.
No.
Let's go one more game before we go Green Bay. We'll throw in another good one. Tampa Bay and Indianapolis. How about
that? Whoa, dude. I was like this close to just instantly chalking up that as a loss for Tampa Bay, like by halftime. It was so bad. And not to mention, I thought I was going to have to eat some serious shit, because Carson Wentz in the first half was just looking like a fucking monster. He was throwing like haymaker after haymaker. And
three touchdowns in the second quarter.
He had a two score lead going into the half.
And then he came out for the third quarter. And that was just a terrible, terrible third quarter, not only from Carson Wentz, but from Frank Reich. Their first 18 plays to come out of half were 17 of them were passes. And Jonathan Taylor only got the ball once. Jonathan Taylor was having a great game, and they were not letting him do his thing, even. Did not look like he was getting stopped. I mean, he was consistent the whole way through. But he did get outplayed by the running back on the other side of the field, Leonard Fournette. Tom Brady always has a guy who can randomly just bail him out of a game, and Leonard Fournette was that guy. Three touchdowns on the ground. Had that rushing touchdown where he just was barreling over people to get into the end zone was insane. And he was effective out of the backfield too. And Gronk came back as well for him. Tom Brady has a very great supporting cast, and it still makes me terrified of this Tampa Bay team, who, by the way, is undefeated at home this year. They went on the road to win this game, obviously, but all of their losses have been on the road. And Tom Brady is trying to figure that out, and this is a good way to start that off.
Tom should be buying steak dinners for his defense, because not only did you have an interception by Antoine Winfield, but you had the nasty sack, fumble, and then recovery by Shaq Barrett as well. And those two takeaways, both happening on consecutive drives, led to 10 points for the offense. I mean, that's the game right there. It was a knockdown, drag out, bar fight for both teams. Really, I don't want to shit on either one of them. I shouldn't say shit on the Buccaneers because they won, but I don't want to shit on the Colts either. Dude, they played a really fucking good game. And even Carson Wentz, all things considered, played a damn good game too.
Yeah, and the Colts did play a good game. They did have a lot of mistakes in that second half that costed them the game. That muff punt as well by Nyheim Hines was terribly timed. And yep. Scotty Miller is just the new Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, Wes Welker that Tom Brady has with him.
Tom's white guy wide receiver.
That's what I mean. Like, just ridiculous. He always finds some guy who's just got that grit factor, whatever the fuck they call it when it's someone like that. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's grit, dude.
Yeah, he was like bagging groceries at your local Pick and Save before he made it to the NFL or whatever. I don't even know Scotty Miller's story. Maybe he was a really high recruit, but that just seems like what Scotty Miller's backstory would be. So yeah. Move on from this one. Great game overall. I think that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are still the best competition for this next team we're going to, the Green Bay.
We should save this game. This is easily the best game of the week.
But I want to talk about the Packers.
I know, but we have other shitty games that we should get out of the way.
Jets Texans.
Yes. Get it out of the way. We don't need to save this any longer, dude.
Oh my god. Dude,
we have Jets Texans and Denver Chargers and Broncos. Let's get these out of the way. You did do that. In fact, you called both of these games. And you know what? While we're at it, get rid of that fucking night game too, because holy shit, that game was fucking terrible.
All right, we'll talk Packers last, then we'll do all three of them.
Yeah, I should have said something, but with this is like the truth right here. These three games that we are about to rattle off very quickly were not good, and we do not need to talk any more than we will about the Packers and Rams than we do on these three games. Let's go.
Zach Wilson threw the ugliest interception we've seen all year.
Gross.
Like, oh my God, dude. Like, come on, Zach. You got to give us something, dude. It's like that guy poking this, like, stick with the stick meme. Like, just Zach Wilson right now. Oh my God. 145 yards against the Texans in a game in which they probably should have lost, honestly. They came out firing in the second half. Robert Saleh can get that defense playing every once in a while, but this is their first road win.
Five sacks, dude. It comes against
a pretty terrible team. Yeah, I mean, like I said, Robert Saleh, maybe something there, but just an overall, like, shit-fest game. Zach Wilson ran one in, like, cool, dude. But
really, the big thing you need to talk about is the 157 yards on the ground for the Jets. Tevin Coleman, 67, Ty Johnson, 42, Alston Walter, 38. I mean, that's where it was at for them. Now the Texans, Jesus, moving the ball. They only had 45 yards of offense in the second half. I mean, come on. That was fifth lowest second half yardage total in franchise history. I mean, it's ugly. It's just the worst. But it's especially ugly when it comes against a team that's been as bad as the Jets have been all year. It's one thing if you're going up against Tampa Bay, you know, a Tampa Bay level defense. It's the fucking Jets. The Jets, who, you want to take a guess at who their big MVP on defense was?
John Franklin Myers.
Wow, I wonder where you got that. I saw those eyes scrolling through. Yeah,
I knew
JFM,
his name.
Dude, he came up with two sacks, and then he had a big first quarter interception that led to a fucking field goal. This offense of the Jets are not good, and
we're spending too long on the Jets.
Yep,
we're spending too long. Yeah.
All
right. Next one, Denver and LA Chargers. I said that I thought this was a good matchup for the Denver Broncos going up against Justin Herbert, playing a game that weighed a lot. This now ties them up 6-5 in the division. And we saw Drew Lock, backup quarterback sighting, came in for Teddy.
Woo, 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 woo.
Justin Herbert, man, I don't know, dude. He's very, very weird, man. Like,
you cannot
praise him. Is this a sophomore slump? Is this a sophomore slump, or is he having a good year still? I mean,
no, he's not having a good year. I'm sorry. Like, every time they want to anoint him as the next elite quarterback, he has a game like this. Because last week he was fucking impressive as all hell, but this week he had not only two interceptions, one of them being a fucking pick six, though. The Chargers offensive line looked like a bunch of toddlers. It led to an absolutely horrible day for Herbert, sacked three times. And then on top of that, if you want to even just add more, you had miscues, like a missed field goal as well. Fuck, the Chargers I'm so disappointed on the Chargers. They should be dominating this division. And
he did throw a sick garbage time touchdown. Like, that was about as good as a garbage time touchdown as you can get. Threw it up there for Jared Cook. Missing Jared a lot. But, I am also very impressed with the way Denver came out on defense. They looked very sharp on the Chargers. Like you said, they attacked that O-line. And Pat Surtain, man, coming out, getting two picks, taking one to the house.
I didn't even realize this, but the nickname of PS2 is just fucking fire.
That's a pretty good nickname.
That's a fire. What?
I didn't even think of that.
Dude, that's a fucking awesome nickname. Chalk it up. He is going top five nicknames in the NFL. I don't know how many, what are the best nicknames out there? But to me, that's got to be like, maybe that's just nostalgia factor. But that's fucking.
Yeah. Fun. I can't think of many other like good nicknames in the NFL. Like the fridge is an old one, obviously.
Oh, I'm talking about like modern one. Yeah.
I mean, A-Rod. A-Rod's all right.
But someone's already done it.
Best
nicknames in the NFL.
Yeah, look it up. Move on to the next one, because we'll figure it out afterwards. Cleveland and Baltimore. This just has to be the sloppiest Sunday night football game.
Gross.
Ever. This was even the best play of the game was sloppy as fuck, where he threw it up to Mark Andrews. This was embarrassing from Lamar Jackson. Four interceptions. I mean, dude, it was just like, what the hell is going on? And the Baltimore Ravens continue to play like shit and just win games. So I don't know. They actually might be the top seed now in the AFC. Looking at it, they're 8-3 now. So they actually might be the default number one. I don't think so. I think the Patriots are better today.
They are.
But the Ravens do keep winning these games. That is putting them in good spot. They'll win a playoff game, I'm sure. The Browns, Baker Mayfield, man. Your clock is ticking. It is very close.
Now he's hurt too. I mean, come on. So, okay. I'm trying to look through all these lists of nicknames. Do you know Ryan Fitzpatrick's nickname? I know we know him as the Beard, right? But this article has him as the Amish Rifle.
That's, I've never heard that.
They also have Aaron Rodgers as Batman.
Oh, that's from Stephen
A. Smith. Yeah, like, but dude, he's A-Rod. He's not. Though I will say this article also has Nick Foles as Big Dick Nick, which is fucking awesome.
I mean, damn near the best nickname in sports. If we're going to count that one. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty solid.
Great. I'm so happy they put it there. All right. Yeah, dude. Like, there's nothing else to say on this. It was one of the ugliest games I've ever seen, especially in that first half.
Do you want to do this breaking news?
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Brian Kelly heading to LSU after 12 seasons at Notre Dame.
Has he really been there for 12 seasons?
Yeah, man. He's been at Notre Dame for a long time. I remember him at Cincinnati, honestly. Tony Pike was there, right? Who else?
Ow.
Shit, I can't remember. But I remember Tony Pike, and for some reason. But moving on to the game of the week, then. Screw Sunday Night Football. Rams Packers, baby.
Rams Packers, man. This was a fucking game.
Let's go.
Now, here's the thing, too. Another thing that stopped you from beating me, you swayed me over to the Packers last second.
I don't want you to not pick the Packers. I mean, that's fair. In that sense. I would rather just lose to you or tie with you because you had faith in the Packers. I feel like that's a lot better.
Now, here's the thing, and the Packers did exactly what I said they had to do, and that was put pressure on Matthew Stafford. If they didn't do that, they weren't going to win. They were not. But Stafford got flustered, and then he started coming out with some bullshit pain in his throwing arm and elbow and a sore ankle and a back pain. Ugh, shut up. Dude, you got fucking flustered, and you couldn't do anything about it.
I want to know what Matt Stafford's record is against Aaron Rodgers all time.
You want me to look
It's got to be. It's See if you can find that. That's got to be pretty rough. Aaron Rodgers came out and just alpha'd him. He was trying to go on this big fuck you tour after last week with his whole toe situation getting spread around. I am in love with the way AJ Dillon runs the football. I mean, it's so damn good. I'm now concerned that that Aaron Jones contract last season is going to screw us. But I also think that AJ Dillon loves playing in Green Bay, so it could be useful. But I think he might be a better runner than Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is still more valuable, maybe. Yes. But I think AJ Dillon is a better runner.
And we'll get to that later on when we get into hot takes, because I do have some as well. So I looked it up. It's really not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's 7-14. That is Matt Stafford's record against the Packers. Again, with the way that that Lions team has been, the fact that he has 7 wins against the Packers is pretty remarkable. I would not have.
I guess I thought it would have been worse, too. Yeah, that's not that bad.
I was expecting like 4 or 5. But, you know, again, he's at 50%, right? No, wait, no, sorry. What is that? 33%. So, I mean, all things considered, you know, I guess you can.
Like, every 3 games, he takes a win.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Splits one and then loses 2. That sounds.
This was
right.
A huge measuring stick for the Packers, man, and they recorded a great win against, you know, what everyone perceives to be a great team. Aaron Rodgers fucking around on that fractured toe, still completed 28 of 45 passes for 307 yards and 2 touchdowns. Boom.
He definitely needs to be in MVP conversations. I don't think the NFL wants to give him the MVP, so I don't think he's going to win it. But he needs to be there. He needs to. He's bringing back Randall Cobb, who I hope he's not going to be out for too long, because those 95 yards, they were huge plays going to him, including the longest play of the day for him. Davante Adams was fucking up Jalen Ramsey, as he does. And even MVS went out there and was making some big plays. AJ Dillon got involved in the pass game. I really like how this Packers team is doing it. Now, I will say they just did not give a fuck after the pick 6. Like, they knew they won the game, so they really were not trying as hard as they should have been.
Yeah, dude, Stokes had another pick 6 just waiting.
Waiting for him.
Yeah, that hit him right in the fucking breadbasket. And if he would have grabbed that, he was fucking gone. Now, I do want to talk about the other pick 6, mainly because Rasul Douglas has no reason playing as good as he has been playing.
He made that pick 6 was a nuts play. Like, that was heads up. It was a great route to jump, wasn't it, to Cooper Kupp?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. He snapped on that play. It was
he
a
had
huge
another
momentum.
One.
And it was pretty much a dagger at the end of the day.
He had another pass that he ended up deflecting that, again, if he would have caught it, granted, it was a much harder catch. But if he would have caught it, that was also a fucking pick 6. Then you also had another play on one, I think the final drive, where he was covering Van Jefferson and just came out of nowhere to knock that ball out of Van Jefferson's hands and stopping a first down.
He did get burned on the Odell touchdown, though. That was
on his head. So I'm sorry. Burned once, but do everything else. What you taking? Fuck me. Go ahead. You can have one miscue. I'm okay with it.
Not a bad day. We got to talk about Mason Crosby just missing another field goal, dude. This is
9
sad.
Field goals.
So
most
sad.
In the NFL.
I'm telling you, we should hop on this Adam Vinatieri's a free agent wave. Like,
he's like a free agent, but that's because he's retired.
No, I'm telling you, we could totally bring him back. And I think he's hitting 45 yarders all day.
I would venture to say that he's at least
Mason
close
Crosby is in his own head so bad. I know he went 3 for 4 and hit all his extra points, but damn, some of those field goals were close again. It is just terrifying
Everything goes to the left. Everything goes to the left. He needs this bye week more than anyone.
If he can maybe bring it back after, that would be great. But everyone is shaking in their boots, and he knows that when he goes to kick the ball. As for the Rams, they are now 0-3 since acquiring Von Miller and 0-2 since acquiring Odell Beckham. This is time to worry now if you're the Rams, or they've run into just a rough part of their schedule.
Oh, no, no. This is time to worry. Again, we talked about this last week. The Rams do not have an impressive win. I take that back. They have one against Tampa Bay, I guess. But when you look at the rest of those wins, they are not all that impressive, right?
Well, I don't have it in front of me. What do we got here?
Am I looking it up? Was that a request?
I'm going right now.
All right. All right.
I think that the Rams are still a very solid team. What needs to be in the worry for the Rams is that they have no picks. Like, they're stuck with this team.
Yeah.
So they better figure it out fast, because they've looked kind of sloppy. The Titans without Derrick Henry, remember, the 49ers and the Packers now, three in a row. Luckily, they do get the Jaguars to come back and try to beat the shit out of, hopefully.
Try.
But they got to face the Cardinals. They still got another division game against the Niners and the Seahawks, so those are always toss-ups. And they got to play the Ravens. So I don't know what to think about these Rams right now, but they are falling fast, fast.
Yeah, and I think there is time to worry. I think that it was so evident that Matt Stafford cannot play under pressure at all. At all. And that should worry people, because that's something that you need in the playoffs, is consistent quarterback play. It doesn't have to be the best playing quarterback. You know, we've seen plenty of mediocre product out there, but you need someone that can safely get the ball to a receiver, hand the ball off. And you are not seeing that with Matt Stafford.
I don't know, man. This is really weird. He was put into a really good spot this year, and now the team just got too fancy. We knew this was like a bad recipe. It doesn't work like that in football, I think, where you can just add all these talented players like that and kind of cohesively work as a unit. Unless you got Tom Brady running the show, then he can get everyone on the same page. But I mean, this is very weird to see all the star power going over to one place. There's no chemistry, obviously. It's all in the middle of the season. I'm definitely worried about the Rams. I think that they are now the fourth best team in the NFC.
Dun, dun, dun,
All right. Do we go? What do we do now? Do we do hot takes now?
Hot takes.
All right. Let's do some hot takes. That was our week 12 recap. I have some. How do you want to do this now that you have some? Do you want me to read yours? Do you want me to read a couple and you read me a couple? What do you want to do?
Yeah, let's go back and forth.
Okay, well, first one I have is going to stay on the topic of football because we were already on it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save.